Hey, good morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here, and this is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors, of course, but today we have a pre-recorded show. I'm actually up in Deep Creek Lake attending a wedding, and hopefully, not mine, doing a little fishing while we're up there this week. So we brought a couple guests in here prior to the Memorial Day weekend, and we brought Julie Brown from the Natural Resources Police. She's the Boating Education Coordinator. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Alan. Thank you for having me.
Indeed. And we brought Eric Zlokovich here with Fisheries Service, and he's the education guy, or one of them, the best one. You know, he knows everything about everything that's going on in Department of Natural Resources Fisheries Service. So he's off mic right now, but he is sitting in. So we'll get into a conversation with Eric here a little later. But Julie, we doing this pre-recording the Memorial Day weekend, we have no idea arrest rate, citation, warning rate, and all that for the boaters out there in the Memorial Day weekend. People are just kind of getting their boats out on the water, getting used to the feel of the water and that type of thing. There's going to be some people out there maybe celebrating a little bit too much. There's going to be people that aren't wearing their safety vest. There's going to be people out there that may be acting a little reckless. There'll be a full complement of natural resources officers on the water, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. There certainly will be. We have a new colonel this year,
right?
Colonel Ken Ziegler.
Yep.
And he has put out a memo to all troops that there will be a tremendous focus on boating safety, education, and enforcement this summer.
That is terrific. And, you know, we've just come through National Safe Boating Week. We'll talk about that in a minute. And, of course, we have come through the Memorial Day holiday. But the holidays haven't been real good to Maryland over the last few years. A number of years we've had multiple fatalities and things like that.
Yeah, the holiday weekends have a tendency to bring out a little bit of the craziness in the boaters out there on the water.
Sure.
And we just like to emphasize the importance of staying focused, always wearing a life jacket.
Yep.
Taking a boating safety course is very huge.
Sure.
We have a lot of boaters out there, and when they don't know what's going on and what's left, right, or sideways, it can be pretty crazy.
Okay, so let's back all the way up here. I'm thinking about buying a boat, and I've got my budget, and I've shopped my boats, and I've decided on a boat that I'm going to go out and just enjoy everything the Chesapeake has to offer. I'm going to take the family out. I'm going to do a little fishing. I might do some skiing. I might just, you know, do cruising or whatever it might be. But I've never had a boat before. So for new boat owners, what do you recommend? Number one,
for new boat owners, the first things first, take a boating safety class.
Before you buy a boat?
Preferably before you even buy the boat. It's beneficial because it gives you all the information you need of what to purchase when you buy your boat, of how to register your boat, going through the licensing process. So, yes, it is beneficial to do it prior to buying your boat. But in Maryland, there are many options for taking a boating safety class, which is great.
Okay.
Our preferable way is obviously in the classroom.
Sure.
And that is purely because you get that hands-on feel with your instructor.
With the instructor. I'm assuming there is a course online that people can take.
Yes.
If they prefer to do that.
Yes. And that is a very big, popular way to take the course as well, online. And it is approved in the state of Maryland. Mm-hmm. There are three courses online, and they are with Boater Exam, Boat Ed, and Boat US Foundation.
Boat US Foundation. Good folks. I like those folks.
Yes. And that is the actual online course, which is free to the public.
Okay. I wrote down Boat US Foundation. What's the other two?
Boat Ed.
Okay.
And Boater Exam.
Boater Exam. And these are not courses that are highlighted on the DNR website, are they? Or are they?
They are. You can find their link on our website that goes directly to their course.
Okay. If I were a first-time boat owner and not on the radio, and you weren't on the radio, and I came to you or called your office and said, which course should I take, Julie? Which one do you recommend?
Well, the tough thing about that is they're all good.
Okay.
And so what we tell the public is, first off, we strongly recommend the classroom course.
Okay.
So if a person can take the in-classroom course, great. If they are unable to, like a lot of people are due to scheduling and things, the online courses that I mentioned, they are all good.
Boat US Foundation, Boat Ed, and Boater Exam.
Yes,
They are all good.
So we just tell people to make their choice, and whichever one they go with, it is obviously approved in the state of Maryland.
Sure. Let me ask this then. Let's say I take your recommendation. How do I find a classroom course?
Well, they're on our website, on the DNR website, www.dnr.maryland.gov. And if you go to the boating section, you'll see a link for boating safety classes. And there's not as many as we'd like out there, but there are quite a few in Anne Arundel County and the Eastern Shore counties.
Okay.
And that's how you find it.
So this is a classroom situation where you have X number of potential boaters in the classroom with an instructor or a team of instructors that, that are able to walk people through the various things with the charts and the graphs and the visual aids and that type of thing. And sometimes, you know, me personally being old school, I kind of like that a little better than the online thing. It's easier to get a grasp and retain more knowledge, you know, when you're there in person rather than doing something online.
Right.
I read the news every day online. I can't remember anything.
I can't either. I cannot either. It's terrible, isn't it?
It is. And you go, did you hear about it? Oh, yeah, I saw something about it. But you know, you're in a classroom situation.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, that's far, far better.
Well, Alan, truthfully, with the classroom, what we find is, for example, let's say you live in Ocean City. And you're a new boat owner. You've never been out on the water in Ocean City. And I'm sure many of your listeners have boated in the back bay of Ocean City.
Sure.
If you go online, you aren't going to get that, well, the back bay of Ocean City has quite a few shoals and shallow areas that you need to avoid. So you're not going to get that localized feel.
So the Boat U.S. Foundation towboat guys are probably happy that that's...
No,
I'm just kidding. But no, but they do have a great towboat service, and we know the captains that run that, and it's great. So, okay, so now how long does a classroom course take?
Well, the minimum requirement is 8 hours.
Okay.
And knowing the course content that is taught, it's very difficult to get it in 8 hours, but my instructors with the Coast Guard Auxiliary and the Power Squadron.
Mm-hmm. And we've had those guys in the past.
They all do an excellent job of mainly sticking within that 8 to 10 hour time frame.
Good, good, good. Those are good guys. Those are good folks that, that can teach this stuff. And, you know, maybe we need to get them back again this year and talk about.
Yeah, I will tell you right now, without the Coast Guard Auxiliary and the Power Squadron, my job would be a lot more tough.
Sure.
They have been a tremendous asset to the Natural Resource Police.
Exactly, exactly right. So 8 to 10 hours is a minimum that you want to be in the classroom. I mean, you know, it's not trigonometry, but, you know, it's certainly an extensive amount of water out there and a lot of rules and regulations as far as, you know, right on red returning and all that type
of
thing. And I'm not a boater, so I just, you know, I think that this is an excellent idea, quite frankly, that they have these courses available. They are available on the website, or I guess they could call to find out if
they can call our office at any time.
What would be the best number for somebody to call who wants to take a boater safety course if you have that?
The number is 410-643-8502.
Okay, that's 410-643-8502.
Right.
And that's somebody in your office will be able to direct these folks in the way to go as far as a boating safety course is
concerned.
Good. Okay, so here we are at the kickoff of summer boating season. As I said, we're already through that Memorial Day fiasco out there on the water, and everybody gets your feet wet, so to speak. And now we're kind of settling down a little bit towards the 4th of July.
4th of July, yeah.
Yeah, which is the big one.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your boating safety course. You've got your boat on the water. I mean, you've passed all your inspections. You've got your fire extinguisher. You've got your number of life jackets that you're supposed to have. And you're out on the water and you're having fun and jet skis are going by, other boaters on the water. And, you know, you're trying to pay attention to all that stuff. And now calamity happens, something happens, we don't know what it's going to be, somebody winds up in the water. That happens frequently.
Often. Yes, it does. And it happens so fast that people don't have time to even think about what just happened.
Exactly. One of the most common, and I'm just going to put this out here, is somebody has a little too much to drink. They stand up on the back of the boat.
Yep.
They need to relieve themselves, and they're in the water.
Absolutely.
You know, whether the boat's moving or not moving or stops suddenly or takes off suddenly or just hits a bump in the water, hits a wave or something, you know.
Exactly.
And
it
now
happens.
They're in the water.
It happens often.
If it's the captain, so to speak, somebody's really in trouble if he's by himself because that boat is going to just make a big circle around and, you know, it's going to catch him. It's going to kill him. But that being said, somebody goes in the water, what's their best chance of survival?
At that point, their best chance of survival is hoping that they have a life jacket on.
Okay.
Period.
Okay.
And then if they can get back to their boat, that's the next best thing.
Yep.
And after that, it's hard to say
exactly
what can happen.
But let's talk about that first thing. Let's talk about that life jacket.
Yeah.
You're wearing one. It's radiant.
I am.
You're wearing an inflatable life jacket.
Well, Alan, to be honest with you, the month of May when it hit, I told myself that after last year, which was one of the highest years for our boating fatalities, which were 22 fatalities last year.
I knew it was in the teens at least, but 22 fatalities. Maybe that's the year before it was 14 or 17 or something like that.
The worst part about that statistic for me and everyone within Natural Resources Police and DNR is that 17 of those people who lost their lives last year could possibly still be here today if they were wearing a life jacket.
They had no
period.
No personal flotation device, PFD.
Yes.
Are they still called PFDs? What do we call them now?
Well, let's just be flat out calling them life jackets.
Works for me.
The PFD thing was hot ticket for a long while. And then people started calling them PDFs, which we all know what a PDF is. It's a file on your computer.
Correct.
So all these terminologies and acronyms and things.
Now we call them life jackets.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's a jacket that'll save your life when you're on the water.
Got it. So
I've been wearing mine now for the entire month of May while at work.
Okay.
And it's an inflatable life jacket.
Yep.
Half the time I'm walking around going, why are all these people looking at me funny?
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, yeah, I am wearing my life jacket.
Yeah, I got it.
But it sparks a conversation that you would normally not get sparked.
Good point.
And somebody will just say to me, what in the heck do you have on? And the next thing you know, we're talking and they're saying, oh, that's a life jacket.
I thought it was really cool. Big, bulky thing, this orange thing you had to wear.
Yeah.
And the orange things are still out there.
Absolutely, the orange things are still out there. And the one thing, Alan, I've got to tell you about the orange thing, please, boaters, take that orange thing, otherwise known as a life jacket, out of the plastic bag when you buy it.
Good point.
Yeah, because it's going to be hard enough to put it on when you're not wearing it. And if it's in a plastic bag, when you go to get it and you got to rip it out of a plastic bag and the whole nine yards, it's really not going to cut it. So
that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a short break here in a minute. And we will ask you when we come back about the different types of life jackets.
Absolutely.
And so forth. Okay. So, folks, let me tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're just off of Beltway exit number 9. If you need anything for your summer fishing supplies, they've got it. If you're going crabbing, they've got it. They've got the crab traps. They've got the trot lines. They've got the crab bait. When you're done and you bring your crabs in, they've even got the bushel baskets, the seasonings, the cook pots if you want to do that. And you can handle all that right at Clyde Sports Shop. On the fishing side, rods and reels and line and all the terminal tackle, everything you need for every type of fish, from rockfish to panfish. And they even have that 24-hour fishing hotline. And that 24-hour fishing hotline gives you an up-to-date fishing report. They do it every week. And you can call that number by simply calling 410-247-3474 or 410-247-FISH. So make your way to Clyde Sports Shop. If you like fishing, if you like crabbing, they've got everything you could need, want, or imagine. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They're open 7 days a week. Website's ClydeSports.com. And we'll be right back after these messages. Time to book your dove hunt with Upper Bay Gun Club. Hunt over sunflowers on great farms loaded with doves. Dove Hunt runs $150 per person and includes lunch. Hurry, the early dates are filling up fast and space is limited. Hunt deer, waterfowl, and turkeys on private farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership like I did, or call about guided day hunts or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose a Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Hey, drive home with me, Sean Hannity, Monday through Friday from 3 to 6, here on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. We're back with Julie Brown, and we're back with Eric Flipovich. Eric hasn't said anything yet. He's just kind of sitting here enjoying this.
Yeah.
But we talked a little bit during the break about a couple things, and we'll finish up the hour with those things. But when I left, we said, let's talk about the different types of PDFs. Or life jackets.
See, it's
ingrained. Well, I've been doing this a long time. PDF is a file on your computer.
Exactly.
A PFD is a personal flotation device, and that's why we call them Life jackets. Okay.
Absolutely.
We talked about the big orange fluffy things.
Yeah.
Still good.
Oh, still very good.
Yeah.
Most boaters, now, I remember back when I was a kid, the options that I had when it came to boating was
one.
The orange one.
The orange one, yeah.
And that was a miserable wear. And every kid today who goes boating should thank the manufacturers for all the options that they have to choose from.
I think that wearable vest like you brought here.
Yeah.
Showed up in maybe mid-80s, late-80s, something like that. And I know we're not on television, but you brought these along.
I did.
For the different examples. These are the ones that have the belt that clips around your waist. They have the zipper.
Yep.
You know, they're not nearly as bulky as those orange things. They're fairly adjustable to your body size and things like that.
Well, look at the size on that one, Alan, on the inside up by the top there where your thumb is.
What am I looking at here?
There's a size
adult
tag.
This is a triple extra large.
So they come in all sizes.
Yeah, they do. And this one, this particular one's made by Stearns, one of the leaders in the manufacturing of these life jackets and life vests, and pretty good one.
Absolutely, they're wonderful.
Yeah.
They're ski vests, the style that you're holding up, and the most important thing aside from the fit and the likability of the jacket, obviously, is the Coast Guard approval sticker on the inside of the jacket. That tells you that it's a valid life jacket. Usually that's not an issue with people going into a store and buying something without that approval sticker.
Well, and the orange ones, I think the old name was May West or whatever they used to call them.
Yeah.
You know? And so now you have a slimmer version, still a little bit bulky.
Right. It can be hot.
Yep.
But they make the paddling vests, for example.
Right.
They have mesh down the side panels and across the back of your neck.
Yeah.
And they can be just tremendously cooler.
And we'll talk about paddle sports here in just a minute. And then you have the full jacket, which is insulated material that's inside a full zip jacket, long sleeve jacket. And this is more for people who are duck hunters and that type of thing that are out on the water.
That's called a float coat.
A float coat. Got it. And then we've got the, am I missing something between that, the float coat, the May West, and what you're wearing? Is there something else?
Well, there's a type 4.
What's a type 4?
Type 4 is your throwable life ring or your seat cushion.
Okay.
Now, way back when I was a kid boating,
a
seat cushion was considered a valid life jacket.
Right.
Now, I don't know about you, but
I'm not putting one on.
Yeah, it's not really easy to put on a seat cushion.
When you're in the water.
Yeah. So it's not really at all wearable. So the good thing is now that's just an added extra piece of safety equipment.
Right.
And there should be a line attached to it.
Of course.
Obviously, when you throw
it. To haul somebody back in if they grab it.
Pull them back in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the life ring that you tossed me, a lifesaver. And I'm assuming lifesaver was named after the life ring or vice versa. I'm not sure which.
Yeah, lifesaver candy.
Yeah, lifesaver candy, exactly. And you carry that as a lovely little prop.
I do. I carry those in my pocket for
peppermint, spearmint, or wintergreen.
And
peppermint, spearmint, or wintergreen.
Peppermint, definitely.
Okay.
Or the fruit flavors.
They're good, too.
Yes, they are good. The kids prefer the fruit flavors.
Exactly. All right. So now let's talk about the modern version of the life jacket, which is the inflatable type like you're wearing. Tell our listeners how that works.
Well, the one
doesn't
thing
look
about,
like much. It doesn't
no,
weigh much.
It's not. It's basically it looks like suspenders,
right.
And they actually call them suspenders. One of the brands is called a suspender brand.
Yes, exactly.
And it basically just goes over the front, and it looks like obviously it's not going to do anything for me.
Right.
But it's not the way it is right now.
Right.
When I fall in, there are two types. There's a manually inflated type,
right.
Which means when I fall in, I've got to pull a tab.
Pull a tab, right.
And then it inflates. Or the automatic, which when I fall in, the water hits a little tab inside.
Melts it.
Dissolves, and then it inflates.
And it inflates by the aid of a CO2 cartridge, if I remember right. That the CO2 cartridge will basically do like a paintball gun or your air rifle, and it'll fill that empty cavity there with air.
Yeah.
And it's held there. And then, of course, it enables you to float.
Right. And if for some reason, when you pull it, obviously it's not foolproof.
Right.
There are some cartridges that maybe
don't go.
That may malfunction. It may not work.
Right.
So instead of panicking, recognize the fact that you know about your jacket, and you can open the jacket up And on the inside, it has its own manually inflatable tube that you blow into.
And this is the stuff they tell you on a boating course.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So when your CO2 cartridge doesn't work, don't panic. Open your jacket up and blow into the
tube. Blow into the tube.
Literally, it will take 10 seconds to get it to floating capacity for you.
Perfect.
But one other thing that I need to mention is the inflatable life jacket is only for those 16 years of age and older.
16 and older, not for kids.
So it's not for kids.
Okay. No. So the water wings are nothing, basically.
Water wings are for the pool.
Right.
Yeah.
But any of the other types of, for the kids, any of the other types of life jackets are good. Now, I've seen ones that are all foam rather than this nylon shell over the foam. Is that, what's that particular one
called? As long as it's Coast Guard approved, Alan, it's a valid life jacket.
Okay.
Now, these little water wings that the kids wear.
They're not
Coast Guard approved, but I do have to mention a jacket now that's been very popular over the past couple years. It's called the Puddle Jumper.
Okay.
And it goes across the chest of a child and around their arms, kind of like water wings.
Okay.
And then across the back and buckles across the back.
Okay.
It is Coast Guard approved. However, it is not valid for boats in Maryland due to our life jacket law for young kids.
Okay.
And any child under the age of 4 has to have a special life jacket.
Okay.
And that life jacket looks like one of the ones I brought with me here today, and I'm sorry that people can't see it, but
okay.
It has a headrest.
Yep.
So their head is held up out of the water.
Right.
It has a handle.
Grab them.
Yep. So when they go in, you can hook them and pull them out of the water.
With a boat hook or your hand, if you can reach.
And then the last but not least is the strap that goes between their legs and buckles in the front.
Right. Okay.
And that strap is not a tail for the parents to pull the kid back off the dock.
That's to keep the life jacket from falling down around them.
It's got to be strapped and hooked to the front so that it doesn't come off.
Got it.
The Puddle Jumper life jacket is missing the headrest, the handle, and the strap between the legs.
Got it. Now, you can see, when we used to buy the grandkids these things when they were a lot younger, this is the type that we would purchase with the headrest.
Right.
And sometimes you'll see them with cartoon characters and all kinds of crazy graphics and that type of thing on there. But that Coast Guard approval, even though the Puddle Jumper may have that, you got to know the law that Maryland requires you to have that headrest, the handle, and the strap between
for
the legs.
For boating, yes. The Puddle Jumper is a great little life jacket for the pool.
For the pool, yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
But not for boating. And just so I can show you, no one can see this on radio, obviously, but it's very important to look at the wear of your life jacket as well.
Yep.
And this life jacket I have here is basically wearing at the headrest. And the threads are pulling back so that you can see the flotation on the inside.
Right.
Toss it. If you see that on any of your life jackets, any wear, tear that looks like it's going to...
The strap is going to bust or it comes loose or something like that, you're not going to save it.
It's not worth the $30.
Right. It's like your kid's life isn't worth the $30.
Exactly.
Bucks.
Exactly.
Perfect. Well, that's... okay. So we've got... I think we've covered everything as far as the different types of that type of thing. I mean, look, you can spend $200 for a life jacket. I mean, some of these bass fishermen.
The inflatables that's the only dilemma with the inflatable. They are expensive.
They're expensive, but, if you're spending a lot of time on the water, if you're, diehard fisherman, you're out there fishing every weekend, it's certainly worth the investment because
it is.
You never know when a storm's coming up. You never know when you're going to get hit with a boat wake. Those things are comfortable enough to wear the whole time. The first time I ever wore one of those, I was I went on the shad tagging survey up at Conowingo.
Great.
And that's some bumpy water up there. Especially when it's at full flow or when you're shad fishing and the gates are open and that type of thing.
Right.
I was glad to have it on. And it's very comfortable. You can fish with it.
That's a good thing.
It's just getting through that mentality that you're not a wuss if you don't wear your life jacket.
Right.
If you wear your life jacket.
Yeah, you're more of a wuss if you fall in without it and can't get yourself back into the boat.
You're a dead wuss.
Yeah. Possibly, yeah. Uh-huh. Quite possibly, yes.
I'd rather be a live wuss than a dead hero, wuss. You know, that's what they say. So anyway, but that's particularly well worth the time invested here to talk about that to our listeners. And we've got a couple minutes. Let's just touch on this. You mentioned during the break when we were off the air, there was already two fatalities, and we all heard about the duck hunters. Okay. They're out in bad weather because that's when the ducks fly.
Yep.
They're out in cold, cold water, which can instantly lead to hypothermia. I mean, it could almost shock you into hypothermia.
The water right now, Alan, unbeknownst to a lot of boaters who feel the air temperature at 85 degrees, is very chilly.
That's in the mid-60s, I think.
Yeah, and that sounds warm. It's not.
No, it's not. But the duck hunters, you know, like we talk, they wear waders. You know, they wear waders, which, I mean, you go overboard, your waders fill up. You've got concrete
right
box.
Right to the bottom.
Yep, right to the bottom. And, you know, this is certainly something for our hunters out there to know.
Yes.
That those cold waters, those waders, wear that life.
Wear it.
That float coat. Or wear that life jacket that you've got on, that inflatable. They've got them in camo. They've got them in dark colors.
Do.
You know, you don't have to, stand out like a sore thumb so the ducks will see you. And, you know, I particularly like the float coat.
They have a beautiful camo float coat.
Yep.
That I actually have one of. And it is super nice. And it makes a world of difference, especially when you're out there in January and February and horrific weather.
Sure.
It's really a smart, smart thing to do.
It is indeed. It is indeed. So, you know, and look, I understand duck hunters don't, you know, tough guys and they don't mind the weather and all that type of thing. But, you know, when it's small craft advisory and you're in a small craft, it's an advisory for a reason.
Yeah, for a good
Because it could get
reason.
Worse. It could get worse. Years ago, duck hunted in January. Went to Cambridge, was duck hunting on a little chop tank.
Right.
It was blowing southeast, I believe, and it was 58 degrees, and it was blowing 20 knots, and the ducks flew like crazy.
Right.
But as the day went on, as the morning went on, that wind changed, northwest, 30, temperature dropped 30 degrees.
And
we lost two boaters that day.
Oh, my gosh.
In a canoe. They had gone out from Salisbury College or something like that on that water. It was, you know, hey, 58 degrees in January. Let's get the boat out and go. And they went missing.
Yep.
And so, you know, that was one thing that, you know, great day duck hunting.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Great day diver hunting. But as far as the accountability, it was a big cost to those two.
Pay attention to the weather.
Always
it
a good tip.
It is just so very important because out there on the bay, it will turn on you like there's no tomorrow.
Indeed.
And just so much better to be safe than sorry.
Yep. I had a tackle shop owner say to me, you know, fishermen, they don't want to go fishing when it's raining. And my response to him was, I know I fished in the rain and fish are already wet, you know, who cares? But, you know, I don't like northeast wind personally, you know, and I have fished in thunderstorms where lightning hit between the two boats, you know, and I'm like, hey,
that's
we probably
good.
Ought to get out of here, you know, it wasn't one of those good things. So.
And that's when you hope that you've done another very important safe boating tip, which is file a float plan.
Let's talk about that when we come back, and we'll be right back after these messages. Hey, for great fishing tackle, crabbing supplies, and up-to-date fishing and crabbing information, I recommend Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena. To get there, take Route 100 to the end. Hop on Mountain Road towards Gibson Island. Go 2.5 miles to 4729 Mountain Road. All you need for any type of fishing, crabbing, and the best fishing report on the Mid-Bay. Fishbones also carries the best stainless steel crab steamers you'll ever find. Call 410-360-0573. That's 410-360-0573 for Fishbones Bait and Tackle in Pasadena.
Hey, Maryland's Upper Eastern Shore has a rich tradition for dove and waterfowl, deer and turkey hunting, and now you can hunt over a dozen Upper Shore farms with Upper Bay Gun Club. Choose a yearly membership, like I did, and hunt all season long, or call about guided day hunts with Upper Bay Gun Club, or even yearly leases. Tom Slavin has decades of experience and can answer all your questions. Give Tom a call at 443-309-3788 for the best hunting of your life. Call Tom at 443-309-3788 for Upper Bay Gun Club.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833. 384-10, W&W Tire and Auto.
People pouring over our borders, wave after wave after wave of people who do not share our cultural beliefs, our beliefs about government, who do not seek to become American citizens.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7, Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Mostly with Julie Graff from Natural Resources Police. Eric Zolkovich has been, I said it right, I always screw your name up. But he's kind of been on standby here. But that's okay, because
yeah,
Julie's
okay.
carrying the day here. When we left, we were talking about filing a boating plan.
Yes, sir. It's actually called a float plan.
A float plan,
or
okay.
A boat plan is even right. Just as good. But basically what you should do before you go out on your outing is let someone know. It can be as easy as just calling your neighbor and saying, hey,
we're going out on the Severn.
Our plan is to go here, there, and be back by 4.
Right.
And leave it at that. If you're more detail-oriented, there's a float plan
template.
PDF, is it? PDF on our website.
Okay.
And it contains all the information about your boat, all the information about yourself, and then a summary about where you're going. And you can actually file that with the Coast Guard if you'd like.
Really?
That's even more detailed.
That's way more detailed, and that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like when you go hunting. You go, hey, where are you going today? Well, I'm going to Montgomery County today. We'll be in the ladder stand up at the point, you know, and, you know, we'll be out till dark. And if we, you know, we get a deer or something, don't worry about us for another hour after dark. But we'll let you know. We'll call you and that type of thing.
Right.
And, you know, people, we've become so dependent on our phones.
Yes.
You go overboard, your phone is not going to work.
Nope, it's not going to work underwater.
Nope.
So. Nope. And a lot of the times you're out there and there isn't any cell service.
That's true.
So it's just, and remember, the important thing is not to tell, let's say, Aunt Millie, who's going on vacation an hour after you leave.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Preferably,
yeah.
It needs to be somebody who's in town and there. And
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you can always email somebody. You can always text somebody. I mean, it's very simple to do that. Hey, change in plans.
Yeah.
We decided to go out in the Magotty today or something like that.
Exactly.
You know, that type of thing.
So just heads up is very important.
Heads up to somebody who knows you and knows that you are a boater and knows where you're going to be is always always terrific. Okay, so more safety. Safety stuff. You guys were out on the water during the Blue Angels demonstration at the Naval Academy.
Yes, we
and
were.
There were a lot of boaters out there because I went over the river and saw them all headed home.
Yeah.
You know,
it was a lot of boaters out there.
A lot of boaters.
We were there for the practice on Tuesday.
Yes,
so
exactly.
On Wednesday, it was probably triple that.
Yeah, exactly. So, So you were out there, you were contacting boaters, you were just out delivering safety packages, and, you know, everybody saw an NRP hat, and it was like, here's a man, you
Stand
know.
Up. We're fine.
Yeah. But you met a lot of nice people.
We did. It was really a great, I guess you could call it soft and fuzzy.
Yeah.
For the Natural Resources Police in regards to reaching the boaters with a safety message.
So I'm the boater, and you've just pulled up on the jet ski or in the boat or whatever, and, you know, you got the NRP hat on, and I'm all nervous.
Yeah.
And run me through that.
The first thing I said.
Hello, officer.
Yes, exactly. That's okay. The first thing I said was.
We are drinking.
That's okay. I know you are, but that's okay.
No, I only had one.
Yeah, so put the can down, and then come on over, and we'll check.
And you weren't dressed as
Splash,
the safety dog.
Dressed in the safety dog mascot costume. No.
If you'd have gone out in the evening, that would have been a very interesting.
Yes. People would. Yeah. Be taking
you never
blast
a giant dog on a jet ski.
Yeah. You've had one too many,
exactly.
Sir. But no, actually, Alan, what I would do is come up. Whatever angle I was coming, I would basically say, I'm coming on your starboard, coming on your port, stern, whatever, and wave.
Right.
And that immediately gets that initial trouble out, because most of the time they're not going to get a wave. So, and then I basically say, hi, we're out here today just making sure everybody's keeping safe. And we're passing out boating safety materials. Would you like one? And obviously, if they're all... they would love to have one.
Sure.
So we toss it onto their boat, and it contained a bag full of boating safety brochures, a whistle, a pencil, a coloring book for the kids, an oil absorbent pad for spills on the boat.
Okay, nice.
So lots of nice things in the packet.
Yeah.
And people were just so friendly and receptive and thankful. So it really was a beneficial way to reach the boaters.
Okay. So I'm out there with my favorite adult beverage can in my hand.
Okay.
Okay. And we're not drinking that much, officer. And you say?
I say, hey, I understand you're out to have a good time and have some fun. Just please remember, my one request is that you designate a sober skipper now.
Just like a
designated
driver.
Before the party even starts. Just like a designated driver, point out the person who's going to be taking this group of boaters home safe. And, you know, have a good time. We understand you're out here to enjoy yourself and have fun.
Right.
Just make sure you have somebody covered.
Let's bring this down to a little more sobering note. It is party time, but let's remember those 22 fatalities in 2015. 17 had no life jacket on.
Yes.
Out of those incidents, how many did alcohol play a part? Do you recall?
I am not certain how many much alcohol plays a part, but there is a handful of those that alcohol did play a part.
Okay.
I do know there were the one very tragic one out of Baltimore. That one did, and
4 or 5 fatalities in that one incident, if I recall.
Yeah, that was a very bad incident.
They hit a bridge abutment, if I remember.
Part of the bridge.
Yeah,
so,
part of the bridge, yeah.
You just got to remember, we understand that people are out there having a good time and having a few drinks here and there. There should always be someone designated.
Always a designated driver. And even if that person is a frequent flyer on your boat and not the captain, if they know they're going to be the designated captain or the, you know, whatever you call it,
sober skipper,
that person should take that boating course as well.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, if they're operating the boat at that point.
Right.
Anyone born after July 1 of 1972 in the state of Maryland, if they're operating a motorized vessel, then they must have the boating safety course.
Question.
Yeah.
On our reservoirs.
Yes.
Electric motors only.
Uh-huh.
Are they motorized
vessels?
Yes,
they are. That's a motorized vessel. It is not being manually propelled, which would be a canoe, a kayak, a stand-up paddleboard.
Okay. Got it. So, guys, if you're fishing the reservoirs and you only have a trolling motor, you are required to have a Maryland Safe Boaters course.
Yes.
Safe boating course.
Safe boating card.
Yeah, just like a hunter safety education course.
Yes.
You got to do that. Very nice. And I did not know that, but
that's
good. Is there a size limit to the boat as far as that?
No. No, motorized.
Motorized.
You put any kind of motor on it, a kicker motor on a sailboat. A lot of people put for the summer doldrums, when there's not much wind, they plop that little kicker motor on. The minute they plop that kicker motor on, it's motorized.
Even a crank on the stern or the bow trolling motor with a 112-volt battery, that's motorized. Got to have a boating course.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And on the safety equipment in the boat, for example, like the fire extinguisher, the amount of life jackets and that type of thing, it used to be under so many feet. Didn't require a fire extinguisher, I believe, or something like that.
There's a boating safety checklist that's online that basically goes from your boat length, 16 foot, less than 16 foot, 16 foot to 25 foot and above. And it gives you exactly what you need to have, whether it's a fire extinguisher, whistle, flares, sound producing devices, that kind of thing.
That's all on the DNR website on the boating section.
And it's very good to print that out and have it with you on your boat if you need be.
Sure.
To make sure that you have the necessary equipment. And also another good thing for boaters to do is to get a Coast Guard auxiliary or a Natural Resources Police safety inspection, where they actually go through your equipment for you.
And I think they do that at Sandy Point from time to time and that type of thing.
That's
a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you brought another little prop here with you today, a little orange card. Looks like a 3x5 index card, bright orange, but it's got a peel-off back. It's a sticky form. And
it says,
if found, contact. Vessel identification sticker for canoe, kayak, or rowboat.
Yes. As you probably well know, canoes, kayaks, anything that's non-motorized in the state of Maryland does not need to be registered.
Right.
So there is no registration number, no nothing on these boats.
Right.
So when a storm comes along and washes your canoe or your kayak off your shoreline,
right,
and it ends up in the shoreline,
12
communities away, that canoe and kayak cannot get back to its owner if it doesn't have some form of...
At that point, it's considered salvage.
Absolutely.
Finders, keepers.
Losers, weepers. Alan, we have an area, a compound over where I work at Mattapeak, and there's always something in that compound that we find, and we have no way to get it back to these folks because there's no identification. So we created this sticker.
Right.
And basically, all they do is take a Sharpie marker, fill out the information, and stick it anywhere on that boat.
I'm going to need some of these for some people I know.
Absolutely.
So,
I have got plenty.
Very nice. I'll handle that and make sure those are on every kayak. And I know some of them are listeners.
Yeah,
great. And so we'll make sure they get that sticker. I'll hand it to them personally.
Wonderful.
So very nice.
Wonderful.
Very nice. Any other, we've got a couple minutes left. Any other safety tips, any other message you want to get out to the public or, summarize everything that you said here?
Well, actually, Alan, I did want to touch a little bit on paddleboarding.
Okay.
Stand-up paddleboarding is huge.
Right.
Everyone's going out and enjoying the water and having a good time. It is a vessel.
Okay.
People don't realize that the definition of a vessel is if you put it in the water and get on it and it transports you from point A to point B across the water,
okay,
you're a vessel.
Okay.
Which means now you must follow the rules of the road and you must have your safety equipment, which is a life jacket,
okay,
and a whistle,
okay,
on board. So stand-up paddlers have a tendency to not wear their life jacket,
right,
and they lay it on the board.
Right.
Well, if they lay it on the board and fall off the board, you know where the board goes.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Adios.
Yeah. So now you're in the water without a life jacket, and your board has gone the opposite way, holding your life jacket. So we strongly suggest and recommend that you wear the life jacket when you're on a stand-up paddleboard and canoes and kayaks. Just have it on.
The growth of kayaking and canoeing, and particularly kayaking and paddleboarding, has been explosive in the last 5 years.
It really is. And they need to really pay attention to the fact that when they're out on the water and they're, let's say, they're doing a yoga class with 30 of their friends.
Right.
If they're in the middle of a boat channel,
yeah,
that's not going to be the best scenario.
No, probably not.
Yeah. So let's just say a lot of the commercial watermen and a lot of the big vessels that are coming in and out are really having a hard time. So they need to recognize that they're a part of a big picture.
It sounds like something that may have actually happened.
Yeah, they're talking about it at various places across the whole country.
Sure.
Places are talking about how the stand-up paddleboarders are impeding traffic out on the waterways.
And
it's only
kayakers,
because
kayakers doing yoga in their kayaks.
Not so much the kayakers. Oh. The stand-up, it's kind of hard to do it when you're sitting down
in
a kayak.
Yeah, I guess it is. I was trying to figure that out. But
the stand-up paddleboarders
are doing yoga in a group.
Yeah.
In boating channels.
Yes, we have seen that.
Okay,
so
let me be very, very kind in my statement.
Okay.
That's just freaking stupid, people.
Here comes Alan Ellis, live and large and in charge. Okay.
Well, maybe. Well, that's the way we're gonna.
Thank you for asking me to say that.
Nope, but anyway, that's how we're going to wrap it up for this hour.
Okay, yes, sir. That's a wrap.
Julie Brown, thank you from the Natural Resources Police, the Boating Education Coordinator, and Splash the Water Dog.
That's absolutely correct.
Exactly. And I want to repeat that number one more time in case somebody needs to take a boating course. That's 410-643-8502. We want to thank you so much for coming in today.
Alan, thank you. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, and it was a wonderful experience to
be here.
Thank
you very much. And, Julie, we appreciate that, and we'll be with Eric the next hour, because that wraps us up for this hour. So get out, stay out, and stay safe.